This sermon was preached on Trinity 13, September the 11th at St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens. The readings are Exodus 32, 1 to 17, 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 17, and Luke 15, 1 to 10. John Newton was born in London in 1725. His father was a shipping merchant, and at the age of 11, he joined his father on a ship as an apprentice. His seagoing career would be marked by headstrong disobedience. As a sailor, he denounced his faith after being influenced by a fellow shipmate. His disobedience caused him to be press-ganged into the Royal Navy. He deserted the Navy to follow the woman he had fallen in love with. After enduring humiliation for desertion from the Navy, he was traded as crew to a slave ship, and he began a career in cruel slave trading. While aboard the ship Greyhound, Newton gained notoriety as being one of the most profane men the captain had ever met. In March 1748, while the Greyhound was in the North Atlantic, a violent storm came upon the ship that was so rough it swept overboard a crew member who was standing where Newton had been only moments before. In the midst of the terrifying ordeal, he cried out, "Lord, have mercy," thus beginning the questioning of himself that led him into faith. Working as a customs officer from 1756, he began to teach himself Latin, Greek, and theology. He and his new wife engaged with their local parish church, and with his newfound passion for faith, his friends suggested that he should be ordained. In 1746, he was ordained by the then Bishop of Lincoln, and he became a curate of the parish of Olney in 1764. The reason I'm telling you so much about John Newton is that he is the author of the hymn that we have just sung, Amazing Grace. This is perhaps one of the most famous of the Olney hymns composed by John Newton while he was curate in that village in Buckinghamshire. It is personal and profound, penitential and salvific. He speaks of the sheer grace of God and Jesus Christ redeeming him from a life of profanity and of gross degradation of human beings. Yet, despite this, he is found by God's grace and transformed by it. So often we speak of people finding religion or finding God. More often, perhaps, we have to turn this around and think of ourselves or them as being found by God, by his grace, and by his love. Salvation is an act of God through the cross, not a human action, though our cooperation is entirely necessary. So often I tell of a story from my university days at St. Andrews. There was a very sincere Christian woman who would hand out little leaflets with passages of the Bible printed. One day she accosted the very Reverend Matthew Black, master of St. Mary's College, where divinity was taught. As she jumped out in front of him, she asked the question that such earnest Christians often ask, "Are you saved?" The professor's response was, "Aye, madam, in the year 33 AD. Salvation comes through the cross and God's action in and through his crucified and resurrected Son. It is being open to this possibility that allows us to be found. Today's Gospel reading from St. Luke is set within a number of parables that Jesus tells about various things being lost and being found. Ironically, we are told that the people coming to Jesus are tax collectors and sinners. These are the ones open to being found. And also Pharisees and scribes who grumble about Jesus. these are the ones who are apparently lost. The first two categories are found because they are social outcasts and they know their need of listening to the words of grace. The latter two categories are lost because they have all the outward displays of religion, but they are far from the grace of their God. So, in response to those who are lost, Jesus tells of the rejoicing when a sheep strayed from the flock gets lost and is found again. He proceeds to tell of the woman who loses a coin, works hard to recover it, and when it's found, she rejoices. When the sheep and the coin are found, the joy is shared, not kept to the individual who has found the lost item. The rejoicing is not isolated in some selfish setting, but with a celebration for the whole community. This is real community joy. This should be the church when someone new comes to faith. This should be the church when someone finds fresh and renewed faith. These stories of lost and found items culminate in what is perhaps the very best parable to describe what the Christian faith is all about. If someone asks you or me why we believe, or what it is we believe, we could of course look to the text of the Creed. Everything we believe is to be found there, after all. Or we could attempt to give some sort of philosophical or clever theological explanation, which we might think is clever, but could lead us into some intellectual quagmire. Instead, we could do what Jesus does. He tells a story, and surely the very best of stories involves being lost and found. It is not a sheep and not a coin. It is you and me. And the story is known as the parable of the prodigal son. This story of lost and found sums up what our faith really is. It is the core of our relationship with God and with each other. It follows the classic formula of someone being lost, discovering the reality of that loss, and seeking to be restored again. And when found, there is a celebration. The parable of the prodigal, also known as the parable of the forgiving father, is about the schism of human-centeredness and God-centeredness. When we leave our home in God, we drift and we lose our way. We return to God and we find that the Father has been waiting for us all along. His love has been searching for us. His grace has reached out and has always surrounded us. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. This grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We none of us are too stiff-necked to return. Time and again the people of Israel returned from their stubborn ways to the ways of the Lord, and God never gave up on them. When he writes to Timothy, the letter writer admits he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, all things we know about St. Paul from other Bible sources. But he, even he, the least of all men, experiences the overflowing grace that is in Christ Jesus. All of this is so deftly expressed in the words of a stiff-necked, stubborn man who cursed better than others and lived a dissolute life. And worst of all, he who once was a slave trader. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen.